If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Psalms once again, Psalm 56. Psalm 56. You remember in the past weeks we have seen David. He was in a very difficult place in King Saul's court. His life was in danger because there were a group of men who were telling lies about him, spreading scandals about him. And as a result of that, David had to flee from King Saul's court, but the damage had already been done. King Saul wants David dead, and so we have seen how that David was fleeing, and he's running, and he's hiding, trying to get away from the vengeance of King Saul, who is seeking to take his life for no good reason. And so we saw how that finally things become so dangerous, David goes to the city of Gath. You remember the city of Gath? That was the hometown of Goliath, that giant that David had killed on the field of battle. But David now, he flees to the city of Gath. And while he's there, the Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 21, in 1 Samuel chapter 21, the Bible says in verse 13, he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands. In other words, he begins to put on a show like he's a madman. He's lost his sanity. He's lost his reason to the point that the Bible says he actually scrabbled on the doors of the gate. He's scratching at the gate. And he's also letting his spittle run down into his beard. In other words, he is putting on what we would call an Oscar-winning performance for a madman. That's exactly what he's acting like. He's acting like a madman. And so as a result of that, you remember back in Psalm 34, we saw this same setting. And back in Psalm 34, we saw that as a result of that, the king of Gath sends David away, which of course resulted in that beautiful song of praise, that song of thanksgiving to the Lord God that we saw there in Psalm 34. But now we're coming back to that same setting. We're coming back to that same setting, that same period of history. And now we're going to see the song that David wrote. Get this. Remember the first one? It was written after he's delivered. This one is written before. This one is written before the deliverance came. In other words, this is the song that was written while David is still in a place of danger. Things are still a bit uncertain for him. And yet he's going to write this wonderful song. During that time, he's still in trouble there in the city of Gath. He doesn't know how it's all going to work out, but he pens the words of this psalm. Now, you'll notice that the title that is given to this psalm, and it's a title that is to be remembered. It's to the chief musician upon Jana Elam Rechokim. Now, your homework for today, I want you to learn how to spell that, okay? You don't know how many times I tried to practice saying it and probably still did not get it right. But at any rate, it's to the chief musician upon Jana Elam Rechokim, a michtam of David when the Philistines took him in Gath. Now, there are several points that we should notice here. First of all, there is, of course, the addressee. And you'll notice the addressee, it's to the chief singer. It's to the leader of the music, the leader of the orchestra that played during the worship services there in the tabernacle and also then in the temple. That's who it is addressed to. You'll notice then, number two, there is the purpose. And it is to be sung upon Jonath Elam Rechokim. Now, this is not a musical instrument. It's not a musical instrument that is played on. Rather, this is a particular occasion. It's a particular occasion. The compound word Jonath Elam Rechokim means, it actually means a dove in a lonesome place. That's what it means. It's a compound word, and you put it all together, it means a dove in a lonesome place. In other words, this psalm was to be sung when a person found himself in a dangerous place, far from home. He's in a dangerous place, and he's far from home. Now, that makes sense if you remember the context of what we saw last week. You remember in Psalm 55, verse 6 and verse number 7, David wrote this, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." And so that's the purpose of this psalm. And you'll notice that the psalm is a mixture. Not only is it a song about a person who is in a dangerous place, far away from home, you'll notice that word mixture is included here. And we saw that before back in Psalm 16. And we learned the word actually comes from a root which means to engrave. In other words, this is something David wants us to remember. He's wanting it to be engraved in our heart, to be engraved in our mind, something that we will not forget. And so the purpose of this psalm is to engrave in us some wonderful truths, that should never be forgotten, And this is important because if we're honest with ourselves, all of us at some point in our life, for some, we've already been there. For others, your day's coming. But all of us are going to go through times in our lives when we are going to face frightening circumstances. And we're going to face frightening times of danger. And that time of danger is going to come when we normally are all alone. And there's nobody there that we can lean on, and nobody there that can help us. Frightening times of danger, frightening times of loneliness. And so we find number three, then there's the occasion for this. It's when David was at the mercy of the Philistines in Gath. And he does not know. He does not know if he's going to live or if he's going to die. He doesn't know if he's going to survive this circumstance or not. And so that's the occasion for the writing of it. And then, of course, the writer is introduced to us, and the writer is David. And so with that as an introduction, I want us to notice two wonderful truths that David wants to engrave on our hearts and on our minds this morning. Two wonderful truths that David wants us to constantly remember when we are finding our lives filled with frightening dangers and fearful uncertainties, even when we're far away from home. And so let's notice number one, David wants us to never forget, no matter where we are, no matter what circumstance that we are dealing with, David wants us to always remember, number one, God is merciful. That's number one. He wants us to remember that God is merciful. Now, you know this from your own human experience. Men can be very cruel, right? Men can be very cruel. They can be very not understanding at all. In fact, they can be very unsympathetic when we're going through a difficult time in our life. But remember this, the Lord God is always merciful, and he's always gracious. You can count on that. That needs to be engraved on our minds. Needs to be engraved on our thinking that God is merciful, and therefore by faith, David is going to begin this psalm. Notice the cry of it, "Be merciful unto me. Be merciful unto me, O God." And then as you go through this first paragraph, we find four reasons why. Four reasons why David cried out for God's mercies. First of all, he cried out for God's mercies because of his enemies. He cried out for God's mercies because of his enemies. In verse number one and verse number two, here's what he says. He says, "For man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me." You see, David was in a position. He was in a position where he was not in occasional, every now and then, periods of trouble. Not every now and then, times of danger. David is in a situation where his dangers are continual. Every day, no let up, without stop. That's the trouble that David is facing. That's the things that he is dealing with. And so, therefore, because of the power and the strength and the persistence of his enemies, David addresses this prayer. And notice he addresses it to the Lord God as, notice the words he uses in verse number 2. O thou most high. O thou most high. I think Charles Spurgeon said it very well when he noted that David invoked against the lofty ones of the earth the aid of one who is higher than the highest. I like that. He invoked the aid of one who is higher than the highest. And he did that. He did that. Letter B, because of his enemies. He did that, I'm sorry, because of his faith, because of his faith. Notice several points that we find here concerning the faith of David. First of all, there is his confession. There is his confession. In Psalm 56 and verse number 3, David says, "What time I am afraid." Did you notice that? His confession is, "I'm afraid." His confession is, "I'm frightened. I'm scared." You ever been there? Shake your head yes if you have. Well, a few of you are honest. I'm going to be speaking on lying next week, okay? Well, no, David, he's being very upfront here. Hey, look, I'm scared. I'm afraid. There's times when I'm filled with fear. David is not, he's not one of those proud warriors who claim to have never known fear. He's not one like that. Rather, David acknowledged his fear. He acknowledged his fear because his enemies, enemies in Jerusalem and in the city of Gath, his enemies are strong, powerful people, and he's afraid. He's afraid. Not only is there the confession of his fear, notice letter number two, there is the determination. There's the determination. I came across a quote, and I really don't know who this person is, but I love her quote. Her name is Dorothy Bernard. And here's what she said. She said, "Courage is fear that has said its prayers." Yeah, I like that. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. And that was certainly the source of David's courage. Notice what he says in verse number 3. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will." See, there's the determination. I will trust in thee. And so we see, first of all, there is his confession. There's his determination. I'm going to trust in God. But how could he do that? Well, notice number 3. There is also the ability. In verse number 4, here's what David said. He says, "In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust." I want you to notice it here. David praised the Word of God. He praised the Word of God because it was the Word of God that brought him to a point of knowing how to trust God. Did you get that? He praised the Word of God because it was the Word of God that brought him to a point of faith in his life. By the way, is that not exactly what the Apostle Paul wrote? Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. Faith comes by hearing. The hearing by the Word of God. Somebody says, "Well, Pastor, I need more faith." Well, let me ask you this. How much time are you spending in God's Word? How much time do you spend reading what the Bible says, studying it, looking into it, hiding it in your heart? Your faith and the development of your faith is going to be directly related to your relationship with the Word of God. David understood that. He understood that. And so he said, I'm going to praise God's Word, because it's through God's Word that I have learned to put my trust, in him. Because of his faith in the Lord God, there had come with his relationship with God, there came this wonderful assurance that caused him to say in verse number 4, I will not fear what flesh can do to me. I'm not going to let my fear rule me. I'm not going to let my fear control me. Rather than my fear controlling me, I'm going to control my fear. How do you do that, David? Through the Word of God, which causes me and allows me and helps me to trust God in every situation. In every situation. I will not fear. I will not fear. But then I want you to notice there's a third thing. Not only do we see his enemies and his faith, but I want you to notice, letter C, we see his complaint. His complaint. If you remember, we saw last time in Psalm 55 and verse number 22, here's what David said. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Wow. Trust in the, cast your burden on the Lord. Trusting in him, cast your burden on him. He'll sustain you. And he'll never allow you to be moved if you are righteous. If you are righteous. And that's exactly what David is going to do now. Notice the burden that he's going to unload on the Lord. He's going to unload his burden in the form of a complaint. Notice it in verse 5 and verse number 6. Here it is. Every day, they, talking about his enemies, every day, they wrest my words. That word wrest simply means they twist my words. They twist my words. They make my words to mean something I did not intend. They twist my words. They're making my words to sound like something that I never intended it to sound like. They wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. In other words, every time they think about David, they're thinking and scheming of some way they can destroy him, some way they can come after him. They wrest his words. Their thoughts are for evil against him. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. They mark my steps. In other words, they're watching me every day as I walk through my life. They're watching. They're watching. Sort of reminds me of those leaders of whom the Bible speaks of in the days of the Lord Jesus. You remember those religious leaders who were constantly watching him, watching everything he did, listening to every word he said, not because they were interested to know the truth. They were looking for something they could use against him. They're looking for something they could accuse him with. That's exactly the same thing David is talking about in our text. And so his complaint is that his enemies are constantly hounding him. Not individually, they're ganging up on him. They come at him collectively. They're putting their minds together, trying to figure out how they can destroy him. And so this then leads to letter D, his question. And here's the question. Verse number 7. Shall they escape by iniquity? Shall they escape by iniquity? In other words, can these enemies who are so diligently seeking to destroy me, can these enemies manufacture a wicked way, an ungodly way to escape from the righteous judgments of God which they deserve? Can they cleverly come up with some plan to escape the judgment they deserve? Now that's a rhetorical question, by the way. The obvious answer is no. No, they cannot. And so therefore, because of that, David continues. After asking the question, he makes the statement, in thine anger, cast down the people, O God. How great it is to know that we serve a God as his people. We serve a God who faithfully looks upon our afflictions. Now, I don't know what you're going through. I'm sure all of us, if we took the time to honestly share from our heart, all of us are going through maybe some difficult times. Things are not exactly as smooth as we would like for them to be. And as we go through these difficult times, what a comfort it is as a child of God to know that whatever our affliction may be, no matter what it is that's in our lives right now, that we have a God who cares about that, and He also has the power to deliver us from those enemies that would come against us. But that's not all. We need to remember that God is merciful. But there was another thing that David wants to engrave on our brain this morning, and that is this. God is faithful. God is faithful. Usually when we are going through a frightening time of trouble, what is the first thought that normally comes to our mind? When we're going through some difficult time, we have all these enemies coming against us, and we pray and just kind of seems like nobody up there is listening. And the first thought that we will have is we'll begin to think that somehow God has deserted us. God has abandoned us. In other words, God has failed us. God has failed us. But that is not all. That is not all. And it's certainly not the case. Because, you see, we have to remember this, what David is going to say in verse number 28. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not His saints. Are you one of His saints? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then yes, you are one of His saints. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and you belong to Him. And here's the wonderful promise. David wants to engrave it on your brain. He's not going to forsake you. He forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved until things really get bad. No, that's what we think, but no, that's not what it says. No, we're preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked, that's another story. The seed of the wicked is going to be cut off. Seed of the wicked will be cut off. You see, not only does God faithfully deal with our enemies, He also faithfully deals with us. He also faithfully deals with us. And therefore, during this time of frightening trouble in the life of David, he had observed how that the Lord God had faithfully, actually, God had faithfully used his time of trouble. He used that time of trouble to help David to grow stronger. And he helped him to grow stronger in four ways. First of all, God allowed this time of trouble in the life of David to help him to grow stronger, first of all, in his understanding. To grow stronger in his understanding. And as we think about this understanding, there's a couple of things that God wanted David to fully understand. God wants David to understand, first of all, he wants him to have a proper understanding of God's care. A proper understanding of God's care. Notice it in verse number 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Here David's, I'm wandering here and there, and I'm in trouble, and I got people chasing me, and don't really know where I can go to find safety. I'm wandering all over the place, and yet God, you know all about that. Thou tellest my wanderings. You know where I am. You know what I'm going through. You know the cares and the troubles and the problems that I'm dealing with. But not only that, not only do you know about it, get this, thou puttest my tears in thy bottle. Thou puttest my tears in thy bottle. In ancient times, it was customary that at a wake, the tears of the bereaved would be collected, and they would be put in an urn, and they would be placed in the tomb with the deceased. It was a memorial. It was to show the great distress, the sorrow, the heartache at the passing of that one who was so loved. And so as people would weep into their cloth handkerchiefs, and then those tears would be wrung out into the bottle, and it was to serve as a memorial of the great respect and love that the survivors and the friends of the one who had departed had for him. But David knew that God's individual care is far more exact. God's care for him is far more exact. He understood the Lord God not only knows the full weight of our collected tears, he knows the reason for every single tear that we shed. You ever thought about that? You ever been so burdened and brokenhearted? All you can do is just cry? Yeah, we've all been there, I'm sure. Let me just tell you, those tears do not go unnoticed. God collects those. He puts them into his bottle. But not only that, because he knows the reason for every tear that we shed, they're written in his book. Are they not in thy book? Yeah, you see, David, not only did he grow in his understanding of God's care, which is seen so beautifully in the way that he deals with our heartaches and with our sorrows, and even with the tears that we shed, David also came to grow in his understanding, number two, of God's deliverance. Verse number 9, David says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back." In other words, they're going to retreat. When I cry unto you, God, my enemies are all going to flee away. They're going to run away. And here's why I know this. Notice it. I know this because God is for me. By the way, question, how did he know God was for him? Because it's in the Word of God. Remember, that's the foundation of his faith. It's God's word. And so David says, I know that God is for me. His understanding. Notice letter B. We also see David growing in his determination. He's growing in his determination. Here we find basically the same thing that we saw a moment ago, only now it's going to be expressed in even stronger terms. He's going to express it in even stronger terms. Notice it in verse number 10. He says, "In God, that is the powerful creator of all things, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, in God will I praise," what? Him? No, I'll praise his word. I'll praise his word. In the Lord, by the way, you'll notice in your King James Bible, that is all capital letters. That, in other words, this is Jehovah. This is Jehovah, the God who makes promises, the God who keeps the promises that he makes to his people. He says, "In the Lord will I praise his word." In other words, though his times are troublesome, through those times of trouble, David has grown in his determination to rejoice in the Word of God. Not in his circumstances, but to rejoice in the Word of God. And again, because of his relationship with the Word of God, then David naturally, as we already noted, naturally, he's going to grow in his faith. His great faith is going to become stronger. Verse number 11, "In God have I put my trust." And because his confidence is in the omnipotent creator of the heavens and the earth, because of his fact that his confidence is in the God who spoke the worlds into existence, David had a faith that could boldly declare in verse number 11, the last part of the verse, "I will not be afraid of what man can do to me." I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. You know, over the past couple of years with COVID, we have seen the destructive force of fear. Fear. People have allowed fear to control their lives. But you know, as believers in Jesus Christ, because of the wonderful promises that we have in God's Word, we do not have to be controlled by fear. We don't have to be controlled by... Now, we ought to be careful. I'm not saying go out and be stupid. But we don't have to be controlled by fear. We don't have to be controlled. David said, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of what man can do to me. Why? Because I put my trust in God, and I put my trust in God because of what I have heard and learned about God from His Word. And so there's his faith. But not only does David speak of his faith, he's going to show the natural result of that kind of a faith, and that is his faithfulness. David is going to grow as he comes to know more about and his faith, and he knows more about God. It's going to result in him personally becoming more faithful in his own life, becoming more faithful. Now, notice in verse number 12, thy vows are upon me, O God. Now you remember during his time of trouble, David had made vows to praise the Word of God. He's made vows that he's going to praise God's Word. He's going to praise God's name. And now David is saying, you know what? My vows are upon me, which simply, I'm not going to forget what I have promised. I'm not going to forget what I told God I was going to do. Isn't it interesting now that so many times when we're going through a time of trouble or a time of difficulty in our life, we get down on our knees and ever so earnestly we pray and we make all kinds of promises to God, right? God, if you'll just get me out of this. God, if you'll just bring me through this. I promise, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And as soon as God answers the prayer and the difficulties have passed, it goes right out of our head. And we totally forget what we would promise. David said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to forget my promises. My vows are upon me, O God. I'm not going to forget what I promised. Rather, verse number 12, he says, I will render praise unto thee. So now David turns from the physical. He's going to turn to the spiritual. He gives two reasons for his faithfulness to praise the Lord God. It's because of the fact, number one, the Lord God had delivered David from death. The Lord God has delivered David from death. We saw David say before, back in chapter 35, in Psalm 35, verse number 9, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. And it's the same thing now that we find in our text. David is going to faithfully give praise to the Lord God. Notice what he says. Here's the reason. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. David is speaking the salvation, not of his flesh. You see the difference? He's not talking about salvation of his flesh. He's talking about salvation of his soul. He's talking about the spiritual aspect. The salvation of his soul has been delivered from death. And by the way, the same thing is true for us if we know Christ as our Savior. Matthew Henry, the old commentator on this passage of Scripture, noted this. He said, if we who were by nature dead in sin are quickened together with Christ and are made spiritually alive, we have reason to own that God has delivered our souls from death. We can say that. Because of that wonderful fact, it only made sense that the Lord God, not only the one who has saved his soul, it makes sense that the Lord God would also deliver him from dangers. The Lord God will deliver him from dangers. And again, not just the physical dangers that were hunting him. Read it carefully. Verse number 13. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? Now what's he talking about? In other words, his prayer is that God will deliver his feet from slipping off of the pathway of righteousness. that God will deliver him from slipping into some sin, that God will help him to walk, notice it, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. In other words, that I might continue through all the days of my life, in spite of the problems, in spite of the troubles, the dangers that I'm facing, that God will deliver my feet from falling, that he will help me to live before him. Before him. In such a way that he might continue to enjoy God's blessings. And that he might enjoy God's favor throughout all the days of his life. Now, I want you to understand this morning that God will allow all of us. He's going to allow all of us to go through frightening times of trouble. But when those times come, my prayer is that each one of us might be able to be like David. That each one of us will be able to be like David, that we will be confidently depending on the mercies of the Lord God. And that we will be confidently trusting in the faithfulness of the Lord God, so that through all the days of our life that we live on this earth, that our lives might truly honor God, our lives might truly glorify God, and that our lives might be a faithful, shining testimony, a faithful, shining light to those who are around us. May God help us to learn to engrave on our minds these things that David has shared with us in this wonderful psalm.